I want to invite you to open your Bibles tonight to the Old Testament, to 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17, try to get the live stream going here. And hopefully a lot of those empty spots in the room are at home watching online. First Kings chapter 17. We had come very near to the end of a series that we'd been studying under pressure and been talking about finances and had a lesson from that for tonight, but just didn't feel like it was the right thing tonight. And so I hope and pray that this is a message that God's put on my heart and that we can all benefit from. I just, you know, that happens sometimes, and I always feel like there's just times that there's a message that God wants somebody to hear, and I hope that's the case tonight. Somebody here, somebody watching the live stream. But 1 Kings chapter 17, if you'd find verse 17, 1 Kings 17, 17, and I want to ask you to stand with me if you're able as we get started tonight in the Word of God. 1 Kings 17, 17 says, "And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, What have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son?" Let's pray. Father, I pray that your word would work in our hearts tonight. I pray that you would use me, help me to speak your truth in love tonight. And I pray that your word would minister to our hearts and that we would learn from your word tonight, be changed by it tonight, and go from this place equipped and encouraged to serve you in a greater way for your glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. We've talked about before the reality that prayer may be the Christian's most powerful and at the same time most neglected resource. Prayer is more powerful than we could begin to comprehend, and yet we do not use this power as we should. Curtis Hudson said, "There's more that you can do after you pray, but there is nothing you can do until you pray." A lot of people have a hard time understanding that, if I pray, then God's just going to handle it. But no, there's things that we need to do. God's called us to be active in serving, active in ministry, active in living for Him. But He wants us to do that in His power. And we get that power activated in part and most importantly through prayer. Many people can't understand why God doesn't answer their prayers. Many times when we go to people in our community, they say that they don't believe in God anymore, they're agnostic or whatever, and I've heard so many people over the years, one of the reasons that they've turned away from God is they'll say, "I prayed, but God didn't answer my prayer." And people are very perplexed about the fact that God doesn't answer. Well, we understand tonight that God may answer our prayers with yes. God may answer our prayers with no. And God may answer our prayers with not now. He has every prerogative, He has every right, He's sovereign to answer our prayers the way that He sees fit. God's word also gives clear teaching about hindrances to prayer. God's word tells us that if we pray without faith, if we pray to be seen of men, if we pray without humility, if we pray without forgiving others, if we pray without repentance, if we pray without yielding to God's will, if we pray without sincerity, our prayers will be hindered. We don't believe, we're not serious about it, we're just going through the motions, we're standing up so other people can see us pray, we pray but we regard iniquity in our heart, we pray but we haven't forgiven somebody else. All of those things can hinder our prayers. Fellas, if your relationship with your wife is not right, that will hinder your prayers. There's a lot of things that can come between you and God and hinder your prayer life. And so there are so many truths about prayer that we need to understand. And so I want to go into this message tonight with those truths in mind, understanding that God may say yes, he may say no, he may say not now, understanding that there are things that can hinder our prayers. I just want to look at a few essentials for effective prayer, because we know that we should pray. And when we pray, we want God to work. When we work, we work. When we pray, God works. And we desperately need God to work in our lives. We desperately need God to work in our families. We desperately need God to work in this church. We desperately need God to work in this church. And we desperately need God to work in our community and in our country and in the world. We need God to move. We desperately need revival. We need an awakening. And that's going to happen through prayer. Effective prayer, there's just a few essentials I'd like to share with you. Now, this chapter may be pretty familiar to some of you, but in case you're not familiar with it, in the beginning of chapter 17, Elijah goes to Ahab, that wicked king, one of the most wicked people we read about in Scripture. He goes to him and he says, it's not going to rain. There's not going to be dew or rain on the earth until I say so, basically. And then God sends Elijah down to drink of the brook Cherith, and the ravens come and feed him there for a time. But there's no rain, so the brook dries up. So then he sends him to a place called Zarephath. And there, you remember, he meets the widow woman there. And he says, hey, she's out gathering some sticks. She's going to make one little cake for her and her son to eat. And that's all they've got left. And then they're going to die. You remember? And he says, okay, you can go do that, but make for me first. And man, you read that, that's hard. But she does it. She makes for him first, and when she does that, God does a miracle, and the barrel of meal and the cruse of oil, they never fail. It never runs out. Every time she goes back, there's still some in there. Every time she goes to pour that oil out, there's still some in there. And God sustains the widow and her son and Elijah because she acted by faith. Everybody with me? But then we get to verse 17, and it's just hard to understand. Elijah, the man of God, comes to town. The widow woman is about to starve to death, and because she's faithful and obedient, God saves her and her son alive from starving to death, but then the boy gets sick. Just because you are faithful, just because you do the right thing, just because you're trying to serve the Lord, just because God's blessed you in one way doesn't mean you're not going to have trouble in another way. I don't know what this does to you. Now, we don't know how old he is. When we look through this passage of Scripture, we see that he's referred to as a son. You see that he's called a child. So you get the idea that he's a younger person. He's not an infant, but he's not grown up yet. But when you read this with me again, look at verse 17. It came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick. The son fell sick, and his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. I don't know what it's been like for you, but when my kids get sick, it hurts me. Jonathan, from the time he was little, he's had, when he was younger especially, had breathing problems, and we'd have to get out the nebulizer and do breathing treatments. When I was younger, I had asthma when I was younger, and I'm going to tell you, seeing him struggle with his breathing, I remember that. I remember the terror of waking up not being able to breathe. I look at these kids, and I visited over the years in Children's Hospital, and you see them in the condition that they're in, and I see this woman who's tried to be faithful, and God's blessed, and you think she must be in the state of mind that says God is providing for us, this God of this man Elijah is providing for us, and now her son is sick, and she doesn't know what to do. She says to Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O man of God? She says, what have I done to you? Why have you come here to call my sin to remembrance? and to slay my son. I want you to see the humility of her. She recognizes her own sin. I don't know what your response is when bad things happen, but that's, I hope it's always my first response. Lord, is there any wicked way in me? Has this come because I've done something wrong? Listen, friends, we need to be quick to repent. We need to be quick to recognize that we have sin in our life. It's not an unjust thing for God to bring calamity to our lives because of our sin. He does that. He does that. And so she says, what have I done? And verse 19, he said unto her, give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into a loft where he abode and laid him upon his own bed. And verse 20 says, he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son? The first effective principle I want you to see tonight, the first essential for effective prayer, is that our prayer must be passionate. Listen, God, one of the reasons that vain repetition doesn't impress God is because it's vain, it's empty. There's no heart behind it. And God sees that. How many times do we pray and we say the same words over and over? How many times do we pray the same thing so often that there's no meaning behind it, there's no heart behind it? But let me help you out. When the baby's sick, when the child is sick, when someone you love is sick, it changes things, doesn't it? Listen, his prayer was passionate. He cried unto the Lord. Now listen, when it says he cried, it doesn't necessarily mean that there were tears running down his face. It means that he lifted up his voice. He cried aloud. But I'm just going to tell you that what I see in this passage of Scripture, I have no doubt that Elijah was passionate. I have no doubt that tears ran down his face. I have no doubt that his heart was poured out unto God for the life of this child. Now, I don't know how many times you've been there in your life, but I would imagine any of you have been saved for any length of time can remember moments in your life when you were absolutely desperate, moments in your life when you were passionate about prayer, moments in your life where there was no vain repetition, it was just your heart crying out to God. God wants our prayers to be passionate. If we look to James chapter 5, verses 13 through 18, James chapter 5, verses 13 through 18, he says in James 5:13, is there any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Now, I could get into I don't want to chase any rabbits tonight. There's a lot of debate, especially among our brethren, about this business of anointing with oil. And I'll just be frank with you tonight. I really don't care what you think about it, but there's an element of obedience here. I've had some people point out to me that there's nothing magical about the oil, nothing special about the oil. But I want to tell you something, friends. There is something important about obedience. And I don't know about you, but I don't think you and I get to pick and choose which parts of the Bible we want to apply and which ones we don't. Now, listen, hear me. There are some people who have taken stuff like this and have gotten real hokey with it. And listen, hokey's for the pokey song. It's not for application of Scripture. Amen? Okay, so yeah, there's nothing magical about oil. But if you want to take this Bible verse and just try to be obedient, that's good too. Nothing wrong with trying to be obedient. How about that? See, I'm trying not to chase that rabbit. I'm not doing very good. When you have someone sick, pray, call the elders, anoint them in oil in the name of the Lord. Verse 15 says, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. By the way, when somebody's sick, we want them to be healed, but we're not just concerned about people being healed physically. We want them to be healed spiritually. And that's why I love it when you read in your Gospels, when somebody comes to Jesus, then they were sick, but he makes them whole. It's not just talking about making the lame to walk or the mute to speak or the blind to see or the deaf to hear. He makes them whole when they trust in him. He gives them life everlasting. We want people to be healed. We want them to be forgiven. Verse 16 says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. Here's the key we want to get to right here. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. This phrase, effectual fervent, is actually just one Greek word, and it's energeo. It's where we get energy from. It means our prayer is to be active. It's translated mighty in. It's translated work. And it means just what it says. It's effective. It's effective because it's effectual and fervent. It means that it's prayer with a purpose and with a passion. And listen, God can see right through a heart. What I'm trying to say right here is, when you pray and your heart's not in it, God sees that and he's not impressed. If you're not serious about it, why would you expect God to be serious about it? So when we pray, we need to pray with passion. And look right here, verse 17, Elias or Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. We're talking about Elijah here in 1 Kings chapter 17. James points back to him when he says, the way you need to pray was like Elijah. And just in case you think Elijah was some kind of spiritual superhero, don't think that, because he was a man of like passions just like we are. What's that mean? It means he was human. It means that he had the same faults that you and I do. It means that he struggled with his faith like you and I do. It means that he had sins that he struggled with just like you and I do. But when he prayed with faith and he prayed with passion. When Elijah goes, takes that child up into the room and lays him down on his bed, he cries unto the Lord and he pleads with God, O Lord, my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourned by slaying her son? Effective prayer is got to be passionate prayer. This account in Scripture reminded me of a story I'd read one time about a preacher who told his pastor friends about when his little 3-year-old boy was sick. It was a long time ago in the days when the doctor came to your house. Some of you might be old enough to remember that. God bless you. The doctor came to the house. The little 3-year-old boy was sick. The doctor took his vitals and said, I'm sorry. He's gone. And the preacher told his wife, go get some warm blankets. And he said, I unbuttoned my shirt and I got my 3-year-old little boy and I put him up against my chest. I laid him right here on my bosom and I got those warm blankets. And he said, for 9 hours I prayed. I held my little boy and I prayed. For 9 hours I prayed. For 9 hours I pleaded with God. For 9 hours I held him and I prayed. And he told those pastors, he said, today, my son's 23 years old, and he's about to graduate from college, and he's serving the Lord with his life. Listen, I'm telling you something, friends. God is able. God is able. And we need to be passionate about our prayers. And it can't just be, listen, this isn't going to land right if you don't listen right, okay? It can't just be COVID. It can't just be cancer. It can't just be this stinking election. Listen, I promise, in January, whoever ends up in the White House, it's not going to matter for the rest of eternity as much as what you and I do for Jesus today. Yeah. So like I said, you got to hear me right here. It's not going to land right. Am I saying I don't care about cancer? Of course I'm not saying that. I hate cancer just as much as anybody does. I got to visit the family cemetery just the other day at Thanksgiving, and I've got family there because of cancer in the cemetery. Listen, I hate it just as much as you do, and I pray for people to be healed. And I hate COVID maybe more than most people do. I was sick of COVID before it was even COVID. I hated it when it was just coronavirus. Remember that? Seems like a lifetime ago. But I'm telling you that there are needs that are greater. There are spiritual needs that are far greater. You see, reading about the 3-year-old little boy tugs on my heartstrings just like it does yours, but what about your neighbor who's lost? What about that coworker you never talked to about Jesus? What about the people that are sitting in the pew next to you who are struggling in their families, are struggling in their marriages, are struggling in their lives? Listen, I'm telling you, we need to be passionate about what we pray for. Effective prayer is passionate prayer. Somebody once said, nothing lies outside the reach of prayer except that which lies outside the will of God. Nothing lies outside the reach of prayer except that which lies outside the will of God. We know that we always want God's will to be done. But I want to say this, and this is a conviction in my own heart. I'm afraid that I've allowed thy will be done to be an excuse for me to not have the kind of faith that I should. Now, maybe you don't get that, but I'm telling you, for me, that I pray about things that I think are impossible. I know God's able, but I think that's probably not going to happen, so I just say, thy will be done, thinking that, well, yeah, God could do that, but that's probably not his will, and so I don't have the faith that I should have. But I know better, because I know God can do the impossible. Effective prayer is passionate. Let me say next that effective prayer is persistent. In verse 21, 1 Kings 17, 21, and he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. The preacher held his boy for 9 hours. Elijah stretched out on the boy, put the warmth from his body into that little boy, literally put his heart to his heart and prayed. And he got up. And I don't know exactly how it is, but the Bible says he stretched himself on him three times. I don't know how that went. I don't know if he just laid down, got up, laid down, got up. But I just have an idea that he laid down, stretched himself on him, cried out to God, and he got up, and he might have paced around the room, and maybe he got on his knees for a little while, and maybe he stood up and cried out. Maybe he laid on his face. I don't know. But over and over, he went back and laid down on the boy again, and then he got up again, and he kept crying out to God, and he went back, and he stretched himself on him time and time and time again. And the Bible is so clear. Jesus wants us to always pray and not to faint. We read about it in the New Testament in Luke chapter 18. You remember the judge in the city who didn't fear God or regard man, but the woman came to him and said, avenge me of my enemy. And she kept going back, and she kept going back, and she kept going back. And Jesus said, listen, this judge, he doesn't care about her. He doesn't care about God. He doesn't care about anybody else. But the judge says, I will avenge her, just so she'll leave me alone. You remember that? Shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with him? Has it ever occurred to you that the reason God hasn't said yes to your prayer is because you quit praying it? God wants us to be persistent. He wants us to always pray and not to faint. In Luke chapter 11, you remember Luke chapter 11, verse 5? Which of you shall have a friend and shall go to him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me three loaves? For I have a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. You remember that word, importunity? It means that he just wouldn't quit. It meant that he was out there banging on the door. It was urgent. Maybe he knocked on the door and nobody answered. And a lot of times you and I will knock on the door, and if we don't hear anything in a few seconds, we go on our way. But this guy wasn't. He was pounding on the door. I need help. I need help. And it wasn't because he was friend. It wasn't because he loved him so much. It's just because he wouldn't leave him alone. He was so persistent that he gets up and gives him what he needs. Verse 9, Luke 11, 9, I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? If he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? I don't think there's a dad in the room that doesn't love their kids. But our love for our children is nothing compared to our Heavenly Father's love for us. When we pray, we need to be passionate. When we pray, we need to be persistent. And when we pray, effective prayer is persuaded. It's persuaded. He said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. You understand what that means? Elijah confirms that the child was dead. His soul had left him. His life was gone. But Elijah said, let his life come back into him. Let his soul come again. Now, friends, if that's not faith, I don't know what is. James chapter 1, verses 5 and 6 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. James 1 and verse 6 says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Now, I would submit to you that this principle that James gives us for asking for wisdom would apply to all of our prayers. Jesus said, when we ask, believing we'll receive. When we pray, we need to do it with faith. That Greek word for faith is the word that means persuasion. It means assurance. It's our belief. I told you so many times about the lady who had a tree outside her window, and she kept trying to get somebody to get rid of that tree. It was blocking her view, and she had run out of all of her options. She couldn't get rid of it herself, couldn't find anybody else to, so she decided as a last resort she would pray. She went to bed that night. She prayed that God would get rid of the tree. She got up in the morning and looked out the window, and the tree was still there, and she said, I knew it wouldn't be gone. How many of us pray that way? How many of us pray, and in the back of our mind we're thinking, this isn't going to change, it's not going to get better, God's not going to do anything? I'm telling you right now that I don't believe, even though Elijah was a man of like passions, I believe that he really believed. He was persuaded, not only that God was able, but God would do the impossible. We read so many stories. If you get the daily and the word devotional, or if you've read our devotional books that we give out all the time, you've read before about George Mueller and the orphanage. How he had 300 kids to take care of. He got up one morning, and one of the ladies that helped run the home said, we have no food to give the children. And Brother Mueller said, set the table. They set the table with the dishes with no food to serve. And they sat down and they gave thanks for the food they were about to receive. They didn't have any food. But not long after they finished praying, not long after he said amen, there was a knock on the door, and it was the baker. He said, the Lord impressed this on my heart. I got up extra early this morning to bake extra bread because I just knew that you might need this today. They sat back down to eat the bread, and it wasn't long until there was another knock at the door, and the milk cart had broken down right in front of the orphanage. He said, the cart is broken. It's going to take too long to fix. The milk will spoil before I can get it fixed and back on the road. Do you have any use for this milk? I read stories like that, and I got to tell you, I'm just ashamed. Just ashamed. I'm ashamed that I'm not persuaded. Like the men and women we read about in the Bible, I'm ashamed that I'm not persuaded. Like the men and women we read about in history. I told you before about the missionary to Zaire. when there was a mother who passed away giving birth to a premature baby, and they tried to put together an incubator to keep the baby alive, but they only had one hot water bottle and it was beyond repair. So they prayed. And a care package arrived. This care package had been put together months before. And they opened it up, and right on top was that hot water bottle they'd prayed for. And one of the little girls started digging through the box. And they said, "What are you doing, sweetheart?" She said, "Well, I prayed that God would send a dolly for the baby's big sister. And if the hot water bottle's there, then the doll must be too." And sure enough, down in the box was a little doll that the little girl had prayed for. Would to God that we had faith like that. Effective prayer is passionate, it's persistent, and it's persuaded. Hudson Taylor said the prayer power has never been tried to its full capacity. If we want to see mighty wonders of divine power and grace wrought in the place of weakness, failure, and disappointment, let us answer God's standing challenge. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Let me invite you to look at one more passage of Scripture, Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. You can pray with faith, persuaded not only that God is able, but that he will do glorious and wonderful things. Elijah stretched himself on the child 3 times. He cried unto the Lord and said, "O Lord, my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again." And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, "See, thy son liveth." And the woman said to Elijah, "Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth." You see, God is able to do incredible things. And underneath all of those things is this underlying purpose for God to get the glory. It's not really about us. It's not even about the things we're crying out to God about. It's about him getting the glory. You notice this, by the way, when the prophet moved into her house, do you think he stopped preaching? He was talking about God and his word all the time. "Now I know the things you've been preaching to me are true." Her faith came from his faith. Her faith came because he believed enough to pray. His prayer was passionate. His prayer was persistent. His prayer was persuaded. I don't know what you're praying about. Hopefully lots of things. We have so many needs on the prayer list. But I hope you and I will be convicted tonight to pray more passionately, to pray more persistently, and to pray with greater faith than we have been. I want to ask you to stand with me tonight. And we're going to have a verse of invitation. I said earlier in the message something, and I'm afraid that some of you never got past it. You may not believe this, but I don't always mean to be as sarcastic as I come across. I said I didn't care what you think about the anointing oil, and I only mean that partially. Just meant to say that that's not the point. The point is that we pray with faith. People that you and I love are sick tonight, and we need to pray. People that you and I love are hurting tonight, and we need to pray. People that you and I don't even know are sick and hurting and lost, and we need to pray. Whatever burdens are in your heart tonight, I hope you'll join me in praying for them. And that by the grace of God, we'll have the kind of faith that we ought to have in our prayers tonight. We're going to sing what number, brother?